Hey guys, Katie here, founder and director of Pulp Town, Orlando's almost daily cheat sheet to the city. Welcome to a new episode of 15 Minutes in Pulp Town, where we sit down at the start of the week and talk about some hot topics currently circulating in the news, and then the events that you should attend and some people in the community you should get to know. And today we are going to talk with Dana Marie Rockmore from the Dinner Party Project.
Hi. Hot topics. Here we come.
Yeah, that's where we're going to go to first. Starting with in Friday's newsletter, you might have seen some conversations surrounding the latest legislature in Florida's legislature about the Don't Say Gay bills. That is the HB 1557 and SB 1834 that are currently circulating. The two bills, in so many words, would limit classroom discussions on sexual orientation and gender identity and encourage parents to sue schools or teachers that engage in these topics. There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
A lot. Mm-hmm. So LGBTQ advocates are speaking out over the legislation, and several people locally that we might know, the Florida chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, Kara Gross, said that if passed, the measure would effectively silence students from speaking about their LGBTQ family members, friends, neighbors, and icons. And Equality Florida's public policy director, John Harris Maurer, said to lawmakers at the hearing, there is a lack of clarity clearly on what this bill is seeking to do. What we do know is that LGBTQ people are a normal, healthy part of our society. We're parents, students, teachers, your brothers and sisters. Conversations about us aren't something dangerous that should be banned. And proponents of the bill argue that parents should be a part of the conversation. And as reported by Fox 13, the state rep Joe Harding said it encourages parents to have the conversation with child related to sensitive issues like this. What we don't want is the school district stepping in to take on the role of being a parent. The bill sponsor, Rep. Joe Harding, said his bill isn't so much about silencing spontaneous discussions, but instead is aimed at stopping the school district from integrating such topics into the curriculum. The Associated Press wrote an article and said that Harding also went on to say that the lessons on Pride Month and events such as Pulse Nightclub would still be taught. It is worth noting, however, that according to the Trevor Project, which is the world's largest suicide prevention and crisis intervention org for LGBTQ youth, that LGBTQ youth are four times more likely to seriously consider suicide, to make a plan for suicide, and to attempt suicide versus their peers. 69% of LGBTQ youth in Florida last year experienced some kind of verbal abuse. The bill has already passed a couple of committees this past week, and it is now headed to the Judiciary Committee to see what happens next. So that is a lot, and that is all that I know at the moment. So a lot to unpack from one hot topic to the next, but completely different weights. Minnie Mouse is trading in her usual red and white polka dot dress. She's trading it in for a blue and black pantsuit, and that was created by the infamous British designer stylist Stella McCartney. And people have kind of been up in arms because people are like, no, we liked her red and white polka dot dress. Why is she got to put on a pantsuit? This is ridiculous that we're going to make her wear a pantsuit, and all these other crazy things on the internet. And the truth is that the pantsuit is in honor of the blue. It's for Disneyland Parks in Paris, their 30th anniversary. And so Minnie Mouse in Paris always wears blue, right? So the blue and black pantsuit is why the blue is getting away from the red. It is temporary. And then also it's in honor or in time for Women's History Month, which kicks off March 6th, and International Women's Rights Day on Women's Rights Day on March 8th. What do you think? Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
You like it?
I saw it this morning.
Would you rock
it? I do. I think it's cute.
I think it's a cute suit.
And big whoop. She could have a wardrobe change after 50 years?
Yeah.
Disney's turning 50?
Come on. Okay, on a more local level, there is a local author, publisher, Ryan Rivas of Borough Press, and he recently, during the pandemic, started documenting some of his neighbor's behavior on the Nextdoor website. Got a lot of traction. A lot of people were commenting and then looking forward to his comments. Then he started posting on Facebook, what have you. And it appears now that that series that he started is going to be available in print. I read this over on Bungalow. Brendan did a cover of the story. And it's going to be a printed series called Next Door in Colonial Town, which I think sounds really fun. That's going to be available for in print already. It's already available for pre-orders. It's $26 to purchase the book, and it is expected to be released in October. You can find out more about that by heading to Bungalow and then looking for the article Next Door in Colonial Town, and you will be able to get it from there. Moving right along, Ava Mediterranean opens this month. That opens actually not just this month. It opens Tuesday, February 1st. It is a Greek-inspired restaurant that is taking the place of Luma on Park, or it's moving into the place that formerly housed Luma on Park Ave. Been long awaited.
Yeah.
Yep. Lots of headlines. Mm-hmm. Lots of legal headlines between them and Luma, and then are the previous owners or the previous whoever owned the building, all these things. There was a chef coming in, there's a new chef in, but either way, it looks absolutely beautiful. And the new executive chef comes from experience from a place called Mirabelle in Washington, D.C. It is also from a 3 Michelin starred restaurant in Chicago. It's down to be delicious.
And there's another location that's in Miami. Yes. So they're coming like from Miami with all that.
They have a sister location called Mia, I think, in Miami.
Like wild.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Spots exciting. Somewhere new to try. And then also coming this month and this weekend, actually Saturday, February 5th, traveling through is a raunchy burlesque inspired by West Side Story. That is going down at Lake Eola Amphitheater on Saturday, February 5th. It is hosted by AIDS Healthcare Foundation, the world's largest HIV/AIDS organization, and it is just going to be spreading the gospel of safe sex.
Hmm.
The performance is part of International Condom Day across the South and is free to attend and will start at 6 p.m. That is also over on Bungalower. And then February, it's here. I cannot believe. I don't know. I feel like January was the longest month, but also the busiest and the quickest over it. So February, our friends at Orlando Date Night Guide are doing a 28 Days of Love giveaway. So every other day in February, you could win something. And on the line are things like a 2-night stay at the Marriott World Center, tickets to see Billy Joel at Camping World Stadium.
Heck yeah.
I would love free tickets to that. Also, free tickets to like New Kids on the Block, Salt and Peppa, Rick Astley, and In Vogue when they come into town. Yeah.
Let's go.
I want to go to all those things. And you can, all you have to do is enter your information. So Orlando Date Night Guide, /Valentine's-giveaway, where you can do that. And you have a chance to win 14 times throughout the course of the month. Mm-hmm. So chances are.
Sign me up.
You can do it. Yeah. Speaking of fun things happening in February, I got 5 events, maybe more, probably more like 10, but I'll speed through them to check out this week. And one you can tell me about, Dana, because you already went. I haven't been yet, but Dragons and Fairies is here at Lou Gardens, and that is running now through March 6th, brought by the same people behind Immerse and the Alice in Wonderland event they did there, the Dazzling Nights at Lou Gardens, but that is Creative City Project. Tell me what you saw and what we can expect.
Yes, so I went last night, and I would suggest to go. It was amazing. It's definitely very kid-friendly and kid-fun. Mm-hmm. Take a time slot, and then whoever's in your group for that time slot, there's like somebody that leads you throughout the gardens, and then there's live theater throughout, of course, Lou, and then there's like little vignettes of, they've like built these dragons which move and breathe and do all the things, and there's a storyline. And the group that I went with last night had like 2 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So probably like a almost 2-year-old and maybe like a 3- or 4-year-old. And they were just eating it up, and it was so fun. The little boy would be like, "Bye, dragon." And then you would just walk. Yeah, and so you have like a guide that like takes you through the entire experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it. I mean, it feels very Disney. They just did it really well, and the costumes are incredible, and it's just fun, especially if it's like a family event. Yeah. But that's adults awesome. And families would like it.
Yeah, this sounds like kind of like the Alice in Wonderland Mad Hatter's experience where we're doing it with a tour guide too. You had like 10 or how many people in your group, and then they walk you from section to section. I loved it. So that's good.
Yeah.
$25 for a ticket. So check that out. That's running now through March 6th. Tuesday night, when's the last time you did a tasty takeover in the Milk District?
Been a minute.
Me too.
I would like to go.
Same.
Yeah.
That is something we really do need to do really soon too. You can sample local food, grab local beer at the Nook and the other surrounding places, local vendors, Atwa Boutique, pop-up space The Spot, which they were in the news last week for the accident that happened there. Yeah, that's 6:30 to 10 p.m. every Tuesday night. Or if you're in the Sanford area, you can eat hot dogs for a good cause. That is going down at Deviant Wolf Brewing Tuesday night in Sanford. And on Thursday, you can grab a ticket to Onaja, which is an exhibit exemplifying the fighting spirit of Black people in America and the diaspora. And that is happening at First Thursdays at Orlando Museum of Art, courtesy of the local group Black Girl Theater Magic. Great group if you aren't already aware of them. And if you don't want to check out Art Thursday, or even if you do, afterwards, you can head to Ivanhoe Park Brewing for a round of Golden Girls trivia. Betty White is just making her rounds right now.
Forever.
From heaven.
Mm-hmm. Forever.
And then Friday, there's a new exhibit at Snap Orlando. This Empty World is by photographer Nick Brandt. It is amazing art show. It looks amazing, sounds amazing. I haven't seen it yet. But it says on the bill, it says that it addresses the escalating destruction of the natural world at the hands of humans, showing a world where, overrun by runaway development, there is no longer space for animals to survive. So the people in the photos are often helplessly swept along by the relentless tide of progress. Sounds very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Sounds amazing.
Yeah. And then Saturday, Virginia Drive Live is happening. That is happening in the Ivanhoe District from 5 to 9 p.m. You can stroll Virginia Drive, shop local vendors, live music, all the fun things, $5 wristband you would need to pick up at either the Yard or 1010. You can do all these things, I think, without the wristband, but to receive the specials, the discounts, and support your community, you need to pay the $5 for the wristband. And then the Lunar New Year Festival is going down at the Central Florida Fairgrounds Saturday and Sunday. The Year of the Tiger opens 10 a.m. and goes to 5 p.m. That has the Lunar New Year, actually Chinese New Year, kicked off actually February 1st. But yeah, these big celebrations happening. And then the annual Dragon Parade will go down in the Mills 50 District the next weekend on February 13th. Okay, that'll do it. That's it for our events. Now we're going to turn things over to you, or start talking to you instead. So I've got 10 questions for you, Dana.
Bring it on.
I'm first here for it. People know you now as like Dana behind the Dinner Party Project. Tell me, who were you before? Like, how did we get here?
Yeah, I've worked in events for like 16, 17 years. So I used to do large-scale conferences and large-scale footprint events in different cities around the U.S. So I'd go and I'd do event execution. So you just fly in, you set up for an event, you do whatever needs to happen within 16 to 17 hours of an event day, and then you'd fly home. Mm-hmm. Long days, but I worked with some really great people, including my brother James and sometimes my other brothers, and some really people that became friends. And so I did that for 4.5 years, and I just traveled a lot, which was wonderful. And I had more energy for it in my 20s and 30s. But yeah, so I learned a lot about large scale events and like how they operate and staffing and all that kind of stuff. Managing people is a whole world and a whole skill set that I learned. From there, I started another small business called Other People's Property.
I remember that
OPP.
One.
OPP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, baby. So that was birthed in 2009, and that was just, I love styling, and I love finding vintage pieces, unique vintage pieces. This was like the rise of Etsy, so we were kind of that first little wave of like when Etsy got pretty popular, and so just posting stuff on there, selling stuff at local markets, like Audubon Park Market on Monday nights at Stardust. I did that for years, and such a great community over there, Gabby and so many great people that had started it. And then I had done like personal wardrobe styling. And then we put on clothing swaps, which ran for
those.
A long time.
And from there you went to, were you working for Credo?
Credo, yeah. So I did that. And then I was working for Credo part-time doing their events. We did two large dinner parties with them, serendipitously. And then I took a sabbatical and went to Australia and New Zealand for 3 months and then came back and then started the Dinner Party Project.
And what year was that?
Shortly, that was 2014. Yeah. 7 years coming up, 8 years.
Yeah, and how
Pretty
many dinner parties have you done?
Crazy. I will be honest that we have somewhat lost count, but there is no way that we have done less than 550.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
If not more.
Yeah. So what do you think back then that Orlando needed the Dinner Party Project?
I mean, I think we always need community. I think we're not built for isolation. So people I'm not like the first person to obviously do a supper club type idea, but mm-hmm. I was like, I have this idea for gathering people. And when I started, it wasn't really like a business concept. It was just like, I love hosting people and I have a lot of great friends that are like deeply talented and generous and creative and all the things. And then, you know, you kind of make small talk with those people that you see out at events and you just like might say hi time after time, but you don't really know them that well. And then I wanted to meet some new people myself. So I just thought, like, what a great way to meet some new people in your city than to just invite them over for dinner and drinks and great questions and food. And
you've met a lot of interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about one dinner guest that really stood out.
Well, I did get to meet Katie Johnston at a dinner party. So very early on, which I am so thankful for all these years later.
I'm going to take this rain. I'm going to take this one.
No, I mean, I will. I'm so glad that I have met you.
That's true. Yes. That's true. And you have created lots of like lifelong friendships now at this point, too. I think is one of the things that you can always say, like, look at all these people like we brought together, you know?
Absolutely.
You also eat a lot of great food. Do you have an all-time favorite meal prepared by someone else? I know you make a lot of good food, gosh. But I meant by somebody else.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It would be hard to like narrow it down to just like one, of course, but we had a chef, Mike Garcia, who you know now from Ever Oak Farms, mm-hmm. and he is so – we've had every chef that we've worked with has been so talented and wonderful, and I wish I could, like, name them all and give them all due praise here. Mike did – he used to do these, like, arancini balls, which is, like, risotto, and then they're fried, mm-hmm. and they're delicious. Mm-hmm. I used to – always be excited when I saw those on the menu. And then he's the one that really got me into like duck liver mousse and chicken liver mousse. And I am telling you, that is one of the most delicious things I've ever had. I recently learned how to make it with some duck livers from Lake Meadows Natural Farms. And I know it's not for everyone, but I just remember that being like one of the most memorable things that I learned, like early days of dinner party, that I was like, wow, I'm like, I love being introduced to the new foods that I end up liking.
I'd say it definitely has to like expand your palate, you know, coming to the dinner party too, because you have bring in so many talented chefs, like local chefs and people
like
who
Maria.
Are.
Like Maria.
Yeah.
Yes.
People who are Sober Mesa, Orlando, but people who are just starting out and or people who've been doing it a long time or people who want to get out of the restaurant and want to just like get into private parties chefs, and things like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you could have dinner with three local people, who would they be and why?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I guess maybe like a soccer player.
I used to always say Ashlyn Harris. Loved her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I really love the library. I think our library system is incredible. So whomever the director is for the Orange County Library System.
Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would like have dinner with them. For sure.
So if it's you and Aaron at the table, who else would sit there and like you guys could like collaborate on something or bringing people together?
I'd invite the mayor.
Okay. Which one?
Mayor Dyer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would invite Kay Rollins.
Yep.
I've had dinner with her, but I love what she has done in this city and continues to do.
She brings
great
good
work.
Energy too.
Great energy, mm-hmm. wonderful human.
Love Kay Rollins.
I love Claire. I do. I love her.
For folks who don't know, can we talk about the philanthropic side? I just made that word even more synonyms, but can we talk about that
philanthropic
side?
Yeah. You got it.
Can we talk about that side to the dinner party?
Absolutely. It's one of like the most favorite things about what we do. I'm so, so, so thankful. We have had a partnership with Tito's Handmade Vodka from very early on dinner party. And so they graciously get to partner with us on some of our events and the things that we do throughout the year. And we're able to donate to some local things. We donate to New Image Youth Center.
Love them
continually,
too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we love Shantae and just the amazing work that they do for those amazing sweet kids from kindergarten all the way through college is incredible. We have given since the very beginning to Mission of Hope in Haiti. They are an incredible organization, obviously operating out of Haiti, that is feeding 116,000 school children every year. So they go to school and they are guaranteed like a hot healthy meal, which is incredible. And they've identified, I think they said last count was like 76,000 other kids that are also in need of food every year. And so they're trying to, of course, like get more people to give, because that money, the money that we give, goes directly to like feeding kids in schools in Haiti. And that they might not, it's crazy to think that people in 2022 would not have access to food, but that is the absolute reality there. I've been to Haiti myself. I've been to Mission of Hope. I've seen kind of like what they're doing, and it's a big operation because there's such a big need down there. And so our little, our donation, it's not little, our donation is, you know, helping going towards what they're doing as far as school children being able to eat every single day.
Yeah. So everybody that comes is, when you come to dinner, you're helping to pay for two dinners, right? Isn't that right?
So when you come to dinner for eight, that mm-hmm. like a portion of that, it's not an exact translation of exact meals, but like a portion of that goes towards that Mission of Hope in Haiti and feeding school children.
Yeah.
So we do that. And then during the holidays, we are, when people book dinner private parties during the holidays, we're able to donate $25 per guest.
Wow.
To kindness.org.
Kindness.org?
Kindness.org, yeah. Okay. So they're helping through data research to be able to help people like understand more about kindness, the effects of kindness. They do a lot of work in the schools, just how kindness affects yourself, how it affects the person that's receiving it, and then how kindness affects you witnessing an act of kindness also affects people as well.
What's on the agenda for the dinner party this year outside of that?
We are so looking forward to gathering again. It's been, of course, like a very tough past 2 years almost now, which is pretty crazy. So we're looking forward to large-scale gatherings. And so we have one coming up on March 22nd. We will be outside at the balcony.
Let you know I like outside.
Yes. for 125 ladies that are...
The women's for, one.
Yeah, great. Women Lead Orlando. Yeah, nice. So we're planning our large-scale dinners again. And hopefully this year we'll be able to gather safely. But being together, I think, is, you know, super important.
How can the community right now best help the Dinner Party Project?
That's a wonderful question. My gosh, my goodness. Coming to a dinner party, we have dinner for eight, and we have it every single month. And if more people come, we can have it more often. And it's just like, you know, because you are a host, mm-hmm. it's so much fun. And it's still a really great way to, like, especially if you're new to Orlando, if you're just looking to meet more people, you can come on your own. You can come and bring a plus one. It's in different homes, usually around the Orlando area. So sometimes there's like a new location. Maybe you haven't been to, like, you know, a new spot. And then we have different chefs that we work with. So it's a different experience every single time. And we just love gathering people. And it's also right now, of course, like a small way to gather as well. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's indoors, sometimes it's outdoors. Right?
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes indoors, sometimes outdoors.
Okay, and where can everybody find you?
TheDinnerPartyProject.co. Okay. And then on Instagram, it's _TheDinnerPartyProject_.
Got it.
That's it.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right, well, that's it. That's all the, like, 10 questions I have for you. So... Good job. Thanks for coming and telling us more about the Dinner Party Project. For anyone who doesn't know, though, I feel like you were very well known.
It's very generous. But there are still people that
very
do
true.
Not know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are welcome. And so that'll do it. Thanks, anyone who's been listening all the way to the end of this 15 minutes. Probably going to be like 25 minutes in Pulp Town today. We'll see. And I will see you in your inboxes Tuesday through Friday. Shout out to Venture X for where I record this podcast week to week, and to Vic Martinez from Brand Crumbs Media for producing it. So stay warm out there. Stay safe. And as Vic would say, you want to say stay pulpy, Dana?
Say what?
Stay pulpy. You want to say that?
Sure.
You can say it however you want. That's how Vic says it.
Stay pulpy?
Yeah, that's what Vic says. Stay pulpy.
Stay pulpy.
That's it.
There you go.
All right, that's it.
All right.